You have your Bible with you this morning. Turn to Exodus chapter 13. We'll be picking up in verse 17. Old Testament commentator Alec Motyer was once asked what he thought a child of Israel would say about their time leaving Egypt. And to that question, he responded that an Israelite leaving Egypt, as we're studying here in Exodus, would say, "We were in a foreign land, in bondage, under the sentence of death. But our mediator, the one who stands between us and God, came to us with a promise of deliverance. We trusted in the promises of God, took our shelter under the blood of the Lamb, and he led us out. Now we are on the way to the promised land. We are not there yet, of course, but we have the law to guide us, and through blood sacrifice, we also have his presence in our midst. So he will stay with us until we get to our true country, our everlasting home." And then Dr. Matier concluded, now think about it, a Christian today would say the same thing, almost word for word. And we do find ourselves in a very similar position to the children of Israel as we come to Exodus chapter 13, verse 17. Our mediator has come. He is leading us to our everlasting home. We're not there yet. Exodus 13, 17, when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them by way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, "Lest the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt." But God led the people around by the way of the wilderness toward the Red Sea. And the people of Israel went up out of the land of Egypt, equipped for battle. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for Joseph had made the sons of Israel solemnly swear, saying, "God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones with you from here." And they moved on from Succoth and camped at Etham on the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night did not depart from before the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Tell the people of Israel to turn back and encamp in the front of Pi Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, in front of Baal Zephon. You shall encamp facing it by the sea. For Pharaoh will say to the people of Israel, 'They are wandering in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them. And I will get glory over Pharaoh and all his hosts, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord.'" And they did so. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, the mind of Pharaoh and his servants was changed toward the people. And they said, "What is this that we have done, that we have let Israel go from serving us?" So he made ready his chariots and took his army with him and took 600 chosen chariots and all the other chariots of Egypt with officers over all of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the people of Israel while the people of Israel were going out defiantly. The Egyptians pursued them, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamped at the sea by Pi-Hahiroth in front of Baal Zephon. When Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them. And they feared greatly, and the people of Israel cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us in bringing us out of Egypt? Is not this what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." And Moses said to the people, "Fear not. Stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent." The Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward. Lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, and the people of Israel may go through the sea on dry ground, and I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they shall go in after them, and I will get glory over Pharaoh and all his host, his chariots and his horsemen, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten glory over Pharaoh, his chariots and his horsemen. Then the angel of the Lord, who was going before the host of Israel, moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them, coming between the host of Egypt and the host of Israel. And there was the cloud and the darkness, and it lit up the night without one coming near the other all night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night and made the sea dry land. And the waters were divided, and the people of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, the waters being a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. The Egyptians pursued and went in after them into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And in the morning watch, the Lord in the pillar of the fire and of cloud looked down on the Egyptian forces and threw the Egyptian forces into a panic, clogging their chariots' wheels so that they drove heavily. And the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from before Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the seas, that the water may come back upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their horsemen." So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Egyptians fled into it. The Lord threw the Egyptians into the midst of the sea. The waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and of all the host of Pharaoh that had followed them into the sea. Not one of them remained. But the people of Israel walked on dry ground through the sea, the waters being a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. And thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Israel saw the great power that the Lord used against the Egyptians, so the people feared the Lord, and they believed in the Lord and in his servant Moses. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we turn our attention to this text, I pray that you'd open our eyes to the very fact that we stand in a similar way. We are on a journey, and we face our own battles. We battle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities that are over this present darkness. And that it is not in our strength that we confide, but in yours. That the battle belongs to you and not to us. That the salvation is through what you have done and you alone, so that you would receive glory. And I pray that if there are any who have not come to know your saving power through Christ, they would. That they would come to trust in the promises of salvation that have been fulfilled through your Son's perfect life without sin, through his death in our place, and through his glorious resurrection. For this we pray in your Son's holy and precious name. Amen. We are very much like the children of Israel. They were a people under divine promise. They were a people of promise who, though they had forgotten the promise, were beneficiaries of that promise. They were people who knew the presence of God in their midst, and they were people who would see the power of God. Let us consider first the fact that they were people under God's promise. Although that they had forgotten it during their time of captivity, God had promised them freedom. He had promised them that their Egyptian captivity would not be the end of their story. And we see that reflected in Moses' action in taking Joseph's bones. Note in verse 19, it says that Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for Joseph had made the sons of Israel solemnly swear, saying, "God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones with you from here." Joseph, who had been brought into captivity in Egypt and who had risen from slave in Potiphar's house to the head of the prison to Pharaoh's right-hand man, had looked forward to the day when God's promises would be fulfilled in the life of his people. He knew that God had promised Abraham that his children would be strangers and sojourners and in captivity in Egypt. He knew that his own father had come to Egypt under the very same promise that one day God would bring Jacob's children out of captivity. And so Moses and the people were under divine promise. God had promised deliverance and salvation for them, even though that they were forgetful of it. And if you're a Christian, you're a child of promise. You live under the promises of God. Even when you forget the promises of God, God does not forget his promises to you. What a glorious truth that is, that God does not forget. The people of Israel had forgotten. They're eager to go back to and endure the harsh captivity of Egypt because there's no place in their memory or thought for the promises that God had made to their forefathers. But because God had promised he was going to perform. And in keeping his promises, he's going to send his presence in the midst of his people. And his presence would not just be there for a short period of time. His presence would be manifested in the form of the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire by night. Verse 20, and they moved on from Succoth and camped at Etham on the edge of the wilderness. The Lord went before them. Here we have what is called a theophany. God manifesting his presence in the midst of his people, making known that he is with them. We are people that know the presence of the Lord. We don't have a pillar of cloud by day or a pillar of fire by night. We have the Holy Spirit. We have God's indwelling presence, an even greater reality than the children of Israel experienced. We know the presence of God in Christ, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And Jesus, before his ascension into heaven, tells his disciples and tells us, and behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Whereas the pillar of cloud by day and pillar of night, fire by night, would go away once they entered into the promised land 40 years later, our experience of the presence of God is an ongoing one. And note what God is present to do. We see in chapter 14 that God's presence is there to protect and to fight for them. Pharaoh almost is set up as a foil, as a counterpoint. He's a false god. What God actually is, Pharaoh tries to be. God is present and powerful, redeeming his people. Pharaoh thinks he's going to be present and bring his people back. Note verse 3 of chapter 14. For Pharaoh will say of the people of Israel, they're wandering in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. Pharaoh's going to see an opportunity here. Pharaoh's going to realize that he's losing his slave force. Now that the plagues have gone and he's undergone every judgment from God, his heart is going to harden again. And just like with every plague, he's going to try to reach back and take the people to be with him. And so the Lord says in verse 4, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart and he will pursue them. And I will get glory over Pharaoh and all his host. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And so word comes back to Pharaoh. The Lord has intentionally led the people of Israel the long way around. He has not led them by the way of Philistine because he understands the heart of his people. He understands that if he leads them into combat first when they're not ready, they're going to shrink back. They're going to wave the white flag and come running back to Pharaoh and come running back into slavery. or does very similar in our own Christian experience. He doesn't throw us into the deep end of the Christian life right away. He doesn't throw all the hardships, all the suffering that we're going to go in the early days of our Christian life, because he knows that we would shrink back like the Israelites did. And so here, the Lord has placed Israel in what would seem an impossible position. They have a choice between, humanly speaking, throwing themselves in the sea and drowning, or throwing themselves in the arms of Pharaoh. And Pharaoh very much knows that. He knows that he has them trapped in. He knows that physically there is no way they can get out of where they are. And so we see in verse 5, when the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, the mind of Pharaoh and his servants was changed toward the people. And they said, "What is this that we have done, that we have let Israel go from serving us?" So he made ready his chariot and took his army with him, and took 600 chosen chariots and all the other chariots of Egypt with officers over all them. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the people of Israel while the people of Israel were going out defiantly. He sees the defiance of Israel, and he thinks he's going to teach them a lesson. He thinks that they have made a major strategic blunder, that right there, they're where they want him to be. But what Pharaoh has not taken into account all this time, after plague after plague after plague, is the presence and power and protection of God. And it seems to be that Israel has forgotten this as well. They're people under divine promise, that they've seen plague after plague come upon the Egyptians. They've seen themselves spared, and they've been given favor by the Lord with the Egyptians, such that the Egyptians have showered them with gold and silver and precious gifts. And yet here they are. They look over their shoulder after looking at the sea, and they realize that Pharaoh is after them. Verse 10, when Pharaoh drew near, the people of the Lord lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they feared greatly. And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us in bringing us out of Egypt?" And forgot this was the plan of God all along. They're saying it's getting hard. Look, there's enemies. Couldn't we have just lived our lives in slavery? Wouldn't that have been far better? Because there's no way we're going to get out of this. You know, we could have just buried Joseph's bones finally and given up all hope. Is not this what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than die in the wilderness. You know, it's very interesting. We're in a privileged position. We don't know how prophetic they are in what they're saying. They would die in the wilderness, and it wasn't because of any fault of God. It was because of the very attitude that they're displaying. They had no hope. As author Hebrews would say, they died in the wilderness because their hearts were not united in faith. God had given his promises. God had displayed his power time and time again. And now they have the presence of God in their midst. They have a pillar of cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night. And all they can do is doubt, mock, and disbelieve. Yet Moses comforts them with the protection of God. Moses knows who's in their midst. Moses has learned the lesson that he needed to learn from the plagues. Moses was reluctant to go and reluctant to be a deliverer, but at least now he has faith in the promises of God. He has faith in the presence and power of God to protect his people. And so in verse 13, Moses said to the people, "Fear not." It's very interesting. In all the New Testament, this is one of the most often repeated commandments. Fear not. along with the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We're not to fear what lies outside of us. Because if we have a right reverential fear of God, nothing else matters. If we understand who God is and his power and his presence in our life, there's nothing to fear outside in the world. Fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent. The Lord's presence was there to protect and fight for his people. Moses says, all you have to do is shut up and let God do his work. We find in the minor prophets, be silent, be still, and know that I am the Lord. Proverbs tells us when words are many, transgression is not lacking. Oftentimes, we can talk ourselves into trouble quicker than we can get ourselves out of trouble. Like Harry was saying in Sunday school this morning, the fish that doesn't want to get caught keeps its mouth shut. Moses could have said the same thing. If you don't want to get caught by the Egyptians, just shut up and let God do what he said he's going to do. God is present. We have the pillar right there with us. And to avoid any confusion, any doubt on their part, we see in verse 19, God stands between the enemies of Israel. Verse 19, then the angel of God who was going before the host of Israel moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them, coming between the host of Egypt and the host of Israel. And there was the cloud and the darkness, and it lit up the night without one coming near the other all night. Egypt is brought in a standstill by the presence of God. God was present to protect his people, and so too in our day. The Holy Spirit protects us, guides us. We know the presence of God in our lives. There are people that would see the power of God. Moses is instructed to lift up his staff and raise his hand over the sea so that it would be divided. Funny story, at a liberal church, an African-American minister was visiting, and the liberal pastor was preaching on the parting of the Red Sea. And when he got to this, the African-American said, Lord, thank you for saving your people through the Red Sea. And the liberal pastor felt the need to correct and say, well, this was probably the Reed Sea. It was probably 6 inches of water. Not much of a miracle to part, to which the African-American pastor responded, Lord, thank you for drowning the Egyptians in 6 inches of water. Whether it was the Red Sea or the Reed Sea, there's a miracle here. There was an undeniable miracle that the Egyptians themselves came away knowing. Well, the Egyptians at home came away knowing because those that followed never came back. Moses said the children of Israel would never see these Egyptians again, and the fact of the matter is no one would see them again when the Lord was done displaying his power. Verse 21. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night and made the sea dry land. And the waters were divided, and the people of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, the waters being a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. The Egyptians pursued them and went in after them into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen, and the morning watch. Lord and the pillar of fire and of cloud looked down on the Egyptians and threw the Egyptian forces into a panic, clogging their chariot wheels so that they drove heavily. And the Egyptians said, let us flee from before Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians. What they should have realized long before in all the plagues has dawned on them at the last minute. What Israel should have understood before they opened their mouth, they're beginning to realize that the Lord was present, the Lord was fighting for them. It wasn't them. It wasn't their own strength. It wasn't because they were a pious people or a mighty people. It was because they were least, and it was because it would bring God glory that the Lord is acting this way for his people Israel. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hands over the sea, that the water may come back upon the Egyptians, upon the chariots, and upon their horsemen." So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its normal course when the morning appeared. And as the Egyptians fled into it, the Lord threw the Egyptians into the midst of the sea. The waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen of all the host of Pharaoh that had followed them into the sea. Not one of them remained. But the people of Israel walked on dry ground through the sea, the waters being a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. What a perfect picture of salvation. The Israelites did nothing to contribute to their deliverance. They didn't bail buckets of water to get by on dry land. In fact, they were almost drug kicking and screaming on their way to deliverance. God was true to his promise, even though the people of Israel had forgotten it. God's presence was there, even though the people of Israel did not see any good in it. God's power was, and because of that, God's power was made known in such a way that both the Egyptians and the Israelites knew the hand of the Lord had been present. Verse 30, thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Israel saw the great power that the Lord had used against the Egyptians. So the people feared the Lord, and they believed in the Lord and his servant Moses. We are people of promise. God had promised all the way back in Genesis chapter 3 that God would send the seed of the woman to crush the head of the serpent. Through the seed of Abraham, all the nations would be blessed. He promised David in 2 Samuel that David would not lack a son to sit on his throne, that his son would be the Son of God. We find all the promises of God, as Paul said, find their yes and amen in Jesus Christ. We know that God is present with us. John in his gospel tells us that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And just as I said earlier, Jesus tells us that he's with us always, even to the end of the age. And in Jesus, we see the power of God, not in the devastation of a sea coming and washing away our enemies, but in our great enemy, death being destroyed. Biblically, the greatest display of the power of God is the resurrection of Christ from the dead. What does Paul say in Romans? That Jesus Christ was declared to be the Son of God by the Holy Spirit according to his resurrection from the dead. God used his power to defeat the earthly enemies of his people Israel. God has fully and finally defeated our great enemy death through the work of his firstborn Jesus, who is God in the flesh. How do people react to such a great salvation? Revelation tells us that when we are gathered before the throne, we're going to sing a new song to the Lamb. And God's people respond the same way when they see the salvation of God. They sing. When we see the salvation of the Lord, we become a singing people. And in Exodus 15, we see that song, and we'll close with this song. Then Moses and the people of Israel sang this song to the Lord, saying, "I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and the host he cast into the sea, and his chosen officers were sunk in the Red Sea. The floods covered them, and they went down into the depths like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, glorious in power, your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you overthrow your adversaries. You send out your fury. It consumes all like stubble. At the blast of your nostrils, the waters piled up. The flood stood up in a heap. The deeps congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue. I will overtake. I will divide the spoil. My desire shall have its fill of them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. You blew with your wind. The sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders? You stretched out your right hand. The earth swallowed them. You have led in your steadfast love the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them by your strength to your holy abode. The people have heard. They tremble. Pangs have seized the inhabitants of Philistia. Now are the chiefs of Edom dismayed. Trembling seizes the leaders of Moab. All the inhabitants of Canaan have melted away. Terror and dread fall upon them because the greatness of your arm. They are still as a stone till your people, O Lord, pass by, till the people pass by whom you have purchased. You will bring them in and plant them on your own mountain, the place, O Lord, which you have made for your abode, the sanctuary, Lord, which your hands have established. The Lord will reign forever and ever. You know, when we sing to Jesus, that's what we pray. That is our praise, that he will reign forever and ever. Because we understand we have been recipients of a great promise through Christ. And we are people who know his presence and who have experienced his power. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy, both in the lives of the people of Israel and our own lives. We thank you that all your promises find their yes and amen in your Son, Jesus. That none of your promises fail, because you are an unfailing God. And we thank you for sending your Son, Emmanuel, God with us, that we may know your presence. And for sending your Spirit, that we may know your presence in our life. And I pray this morning that if there are any who do not know your saving power, that today they would come and place their faith in Jesus. That they would come and trust in him during this time of invitation. For this we pray in your Son's holy and precious name. Amen.